Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. This week, we spoke with three sisters all affected by the BRCA mutation, one that dates back all the way to 1860 in Poland. Catherine, Bridget, and Maureen walk us through their family health history, how the BRCA mutation has affected their lives, and how they've talked about it with their children, as well as how they've shared their stories in a book coming out next year called Nipples Optional.
So before we kind of get into the research aspect with your family, can you guys just offer a brief background about your mom's cancer diagnosis and kind of about your family's health history? I know it dates back all the way to like 1860 in Poland, so.
Yeah, so this is Bridget. So my mom was diagnosed with cancer in the late 80s. She was 32 years old. Prior to her diagnosis, she had been carefully documenting her family history. She thought there's so much breast and ovarian cancer in the family. Something is not right. So she took a very careful family history along with another family member that was doing that as well. Prior to her, you know, she had talked to a lot of her own physicians about her worries that there was something in the family that was contributing to this. All of her doctors really sort of poo-pooed her worries, saying, just be glad you don't have a family history of diabetes, et cetera. So ultimately, she was diagnosed shortly after she delivered Maureen, her fourth child, at the age of 32. Through her diagnosis, she was connected with Dr. Henry Lynch at Creighton University, who was one of many researchers around the country trying to isolate a specific gene mutation responsible for these female cancers. So they were connected through my mother's oncologist, I believe, and he said, I tried to study your family in the 70s, but nobody really would respond to me. So through his research and her family history, they discovered our family had the most significant history of breast and ovarian cancer ever documented in the United States that was passed down through the maternal line. So she survived cancer, thank goodness, and through our family and other families, they were able to isolate the BRCA1 gene mutation. Our family specifically connected the ovarian cancer portion to that.
So I know you had mentioned that your family was one of eight studied at Creighton, and at one point, you know, your family had the most significant history of breast and ovarian cancer that was documented in the United States. I'm sure that kind of comes with mixed emotions, though, of being a part of history, but also learning of this serious situation that affects your entire family. And how did you guys deal with that?
Yeah, this is Maureen. We always joke that it's not the claim to fame that we had hoped for in life. And we do take a pretty lighthearted approach to it just because we find ourselves very, very thankful that we do know about this. And we are a generation that is so much more knowledgeable than the generations before us. Our parents and our grandparents didn't know that their fate, and we did. So really, we just find ourselves fortunate to have been a part of the study and to be as knowledgeable as we are. Our mother always says that knowledge is power, which is certainly true in this situation. Being positive, you kind of feel bonded to your family a little bit. You're saying you were part of this and I am part of this too. And so there's a strong connection there, which is you want to endure this with your family, and we're thankful to have our family to go through it with. On the contrary, you don't want to have it for many reasons, one of which is because you don't want to pass it down to your children. So having a daughter, my biggest fear would be passing it down to her. So it is very conflicting, a lot of emotions with how, you know, you relate to it on a personal level and with your family.
And this is Catherine. I'll add two things to that. I'm actually BRCA negative, but I will say this. I think we're lucky because had we not known we had this gene or been fortunate enough to find out if we were to get the cancer, breast cancer diagnosis, we would have been shocked. We would have been so upset and heartbroken. But knowing this was in our genes, I think we were more prepared. We were lucky enough not to have a diagnosis amongst the three of us right now. But we were lucky because we were prepared for that because of the family history. And second, I can tell you this from being BRCA negative, I take my health a lot more seriously, and I'm an advocate for being healthy and taking care of my body and going to the doctor when we need to, because we've learned so much from science that we're able to use that information to become healthier people.
And so to kind of go along with that, I know all three of you have children, and but you've also been on different journeys with this BRCA mutation. How do each of you plan to have these conversations, or if you've already kind of started them, how have you gone about that to discuss your family health history with your kids?
So this is Bridget, and my daughter is the oldest of the cousins. She's eight, and we talk about it a lot. It's always been really an open dialogue, not necessarily that she could be predisposed to breast cancer, but why my body is the way it is, grandma had cancer, and what I've done, and she, you know, when I had my oophorectomy was just last year, and she knows I had my ovaries taken out, but, you know, her hope, when this is how kind of little they kind of understand, was that one egg got left behind so we could have another baby. So, you know, we talk about it in a very matter-of-fact way, but also a very delicate and gentle way. But as they get older, it's going to be something just like when we were growing up, you just always knew that this was a part of our lives. It's not going to be a bomb that gets dropped on her or my son when they're 18, like, oh, by the way, this is what our family history holds. They'll just always know.
This is Maureen. I do think that one difference that we have in our approaches, I'm completely the same way in that I am very open and honest with my children. I've read them Mom Jeans. They understand that, you know, the level that they're able to. However, Bridget is very passionate and excited about finding out her kids' genetic results. She said, and I apologize if I speak for you, that you would find out now if she could. And I am terrified. Not that Bridget's not terrified, but I don't want to find out. If I could find out now, I wouldn't, because it scares me so much. And, you know, it's one thing to be a BRCA carrier or not, but it's another when it comes to your children. And for me, that's terrifying, and that I can't even begin to think about how we will cross that bridge.
This is Bridget, and I don't think excited would be the word.
I would have used for that. I apologize for speaking to this.
Probably more anxious. No, and that I actually have determined was like probably more of a selfish thing. As they get older, I actually think it'll be a really good decision for us to make together when they're ready, and we'll find out together. So I don't know something about them that they don't know about themselves. I really wanted to know when they were little. Like I, for some reason, I was like desperate to know. And I think as I've evolved with this whole diagnosis and what, you know, the measures we've taken, I realize that this is something that we are going to do as a family and not me finding out because I'm super excited. It's not really what it is, but, you know, it is what it is. Our lives are really gotten better because of this is in it and not worse. So it's not going to be something that's going to be detrimental to their life or our life.
And this is Catherine. I'll just add one thing, being BRCA negative, and I have two boys.
They come up a lot in our household,
but one of my sons is adopted, and we will be doing genetic testing on him to find out what lies within his DNA. And I don't know that I would have ever done that. We haven't done it yet. I don't know that I would have ever even considered it had I not known how beneficial genetic testing could be. So genetic testing very much is going to be a part of our life and will be talked about a lot.
So you have a book coming out called Nipples Optional. Can you tell us a little bit more about this and how the idea came about?
Yeah, well, this is Maureen. Like Bridget said, our mother wrote a book called Chemo and Lunch. And I think because of that, we've always been inspired to tell our story like she did. And when we started out, I think the idea was to just document our story for our family, for our friends, for our children, so they understand what we experienced, like we were able to understand what our mother experienced. And I'll be honest, We've been writing the book for a while. We have pictures of Bridget and I both pregnant with our now 6-year-old at a book meeting. So it's been a long journey. Because we have children and jobs and we have very busy lives. And also because the story continues to unfold. So we just started writing, started having book meetings periodically, and as our story came together, and the story that we share chronicles our three experiences over the last, really, 20 years, from finding out we were positive to really present day, and it goes back and forth between each of our experiences, starting with Catherine, going to Bridget, and then myself. It chronicles Catherine's experience, finding out she's negative, but then her experience with infertility for almost a decade. And then layers in on top of that, Bridget finding out she is BRCA positive, her experience having her two children, and then unfortunately experiencing infertility of her own, and the miscarriages that she endured during that time period. At the same time, I'm finding out that I'm BRCA positive. I get married and have my own children, and later in life develop some pretty significant anxiety. So it not only discusses BRCA and our preventative measures that we've taken to prevent a cancer diagnosis, but also women's health issues that we have all endured. Infertility, anxiety, really just kind of the crap that we deal with as women in life. What we found is that this book isn't just for our family and kids now. It's really for women in general who are experiencing these same things. Most women won't experience mastectomies or be BRCA positive, but they can relate to some of the other unfortunate things that we've endured and how we've used humor and hope and humility to get through those. By sharing our experience, we're able to build deeper connections and build a bond that helps us endure some of that crap that we deal with in life.
Yeah, this is Bridget, you know, to kind of piggyback on that. We've kind of adopted the motto of embrace the challenges you face. And so, you know, as we go through life, we all understand that there's many difficult times. There's some great times, but there's difficult times. And whether that be infertility or, you know, finding out a genetic status or having surgery that's going to dramatically change the way you look, you can really reach so many people and just tell them it's going to be okay. I've been there, you'll be there, and you'll get through it. And this is how we got through it. So while, yes, titled nipples optional, because when you have a mastectomy, nipples are optional. You can keep yours, or you cannot, or you can have them tattooed on, or you can't. It's really become so much more than just hereditary cancer. And we just realize how many lives we can hopefully touch and how much our lives have been touched by this.
Okay, so to kind of tie everything back together, and obviously, you know, we have our resource tool with Mom's Genes and Proactive Genes, so to bring this all back together, what would you say is your biggest piece of advice for other women and families that either think that they might have a BRCA mutation and how to go about learning about it, and then also just kind of starting the conversation and opening that up about family health history of cancer?
This is Catherine. I can start, and I'm almost 40, and I have a lot of friends who are getting to that age where they're doing a lot of mammograms, and I have had so many people come up and say, okay, my mom had breast cancer, or my sister, or my aunt did. Do you think that I could possibly be BRCA positive? And then they have 100 questions about it. And so my first piece of advice to any woman in that sort of situation is to take a deep dive into your family history. How many aunts, your mother, your sister, how many people do have breast cancer? And if there is a large number of people, or I can't give you a specific number, but definitely look into getting tested. I don't think there's any harm in that at all. The most important thing is we know what lies within our body, and there's nothing wrong with finding out. So people come to us and ask us, what should I get tested? Should I get tested because one person or five people in the family have had breast cancer?
Yeah.
People are very concerned about it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Same. This is Bridget. And to go on that, you know, we certainly are here to share our story. But the best advice I can give to people is talk to your doctor. And if you have strong feelings, then push for genetic testing. It's widely available. And just, you know, on the topic of finding out your family history, it can be very scary. And some people say they just don't want to know. And my advice from going through this and the surgeries and everything is don't be afraid. To know what's exactly what Kevin said, to know what is lying inside of you and your risks is giving you the most health power that you can have to save your life, change your life, and your children's life, which is probably more important than even our own lives. So, yeah, just don't be afraid.
This is Maureen, and I would echo that and also add that you, as a woman, you need to be an advocate for your own health. You need to stand up for yourself. You need to be vocal about your health. Many women are oftentimes scared, and their doctor will give them advice, and they won't think twice about it. They'll take that advice. Sometimes they'll feel silly or crazy for bringing up concerns with their doctor. And I would say don't be. Just advocate for yourself, because a doctor sometimes won't advocate for you. You have your best interest at heart. If you have just that gut feeling or some just question about anything relating to your health, you need to stand up for yourself and get the right answers that are right for you. Also, be vocal about your health to your friends and your family. Find your support system. That, I would say, has helped us endure a lot of these hardships together, just being able to share our stories with people and, like I said, build connections with those stories. You don't need to, obviously, overshare, and you don't need to share if it makes you uncomfortable, but knowing that somebody else has been in your same situation can make it a lot more bearable to go through.
Join us next week when we speak with Evan Ruggiero, who had to have one of his legs amputated after being diagnosed with osteosarcoma. However, that did not stop him from pursuing his lifelong passion for tap dancing. Using a peg leg, Evan eventually taught himself how to dance again and now performs around the world. Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcast. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.